Well, we finally come to the last chapter. Let me thank you for the privilege of being with you. It's been a real challenge to my own heart, and I want you to know that with these tapes go my prayers. I believe with all my heart that in a group such as yours, with people applying the Word of God to their lives, that significant changes can be made and will be made, which can affect the entire course of human history. Thanks again for letting me be a little part. Well, back to our children. Would you really enjoy life if God treated you as you treat your children? You know, they're learning by our lives, our encouragement and discipline, how to become members of the family of God. And it is my prayer, beloved, that they will not turn away from God because of our failure in our responsibilities toward them. As parents, we have a permanent pattern before us for our relationship with our children by taking special note of what God does for us as His children. The 145th Psalm, with some study, can give us some concrete ideas of what the Lord does for us as His children. Should we become a copy of God in dealing with our children, they will become then what we want them to be. Let's look briefly at Psalm 145, 8 and 9, and verses 14 and 15 with a proper view of this pattern. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious." Was I gracious to my child when he asked why for the 10th time during dinner conversation, which incidentally he had already interrupted by spilling his milk in the centerpiece? "And full of compassion." Did I express a heart full of compassion the last time my child came to claim my attention with his tears and his hurt or his fear? Or did I just eke out a moment of compassion as I patted him with one hand while I continued to make out my due list for the office tomorrow with the other? "Slow to anger." Was I too quick in calling my child a stupid idiot when she didn't get all A's on her report card? How are we doing thus far, fellows? Ready to look at verse 9? "The Lord is good to all." Do I have a favorite child, and is that favoritism obvious to the other children in my disinterest and detachment from them? It is imperative that we look to God to supply our need of responding to our children in love as well as in discipline. Only He who is the pattern can change us into copies of Himself. As parents, we accept the children we are to guide as a gift of God because He says in Psalm 127:3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." We are taught that the Word of God should be upon our hearts in order that we should teach and talk of them to our children, in Deuteronomy 6:5-7. Verse 5 even tells us what we should teach. In Proverbs 22:6 it says, "If we train a child properly, the promise of God is that when he gets older, he'll hang in there." Well, what is the object or goal in raising our children? That they become independent of us and dependent on the Lord. And frankly, fellows, a lifetime spent helping them toward that goal will be worth it. In 1 Samuel 3:12-13, we find the story of faulty parents who were professionally successful in the ministry. But faulty parents caused the household and the family to be destroyed. Another objective with our children is discipline. The goal here is to see them pass from our parental control to being self-controlled, but ultimately to being God-controlled. Children often suffer from not having clear guidelines within which to operate. We must help them hold to the family standards of behavior, because if they do not learn it in the home, they may learn it at school. If they do not learn it in school, it may be in the armed forces. If not in the armed forces, then it may be at the police station. And if not at the police station, it may be in the electric chair. But somewhere, children must learn discipline. Dr. Stuart E. Rosenberg, who is a rabbi in Toronto, the author of The Road to Confidence, is quoted, "The cult of the child has reached such proportions that in many ways our children are no longer children. They are willful dictators, pint-sized Caesars, little Napoleons who have become the important decision-makers of the family life." The secret of the disciplined child is a disciplined parent. While the child is rebelling, don't lose your cool. Question them to see if their attitude is just against you. If it is, change. If not, stand firm. The first part of Ephesians 6, we are admonished not to provoke our children to wrath. We do this either by under-discipline or over-discipline. Doctors have two forms of medicine, preventative and corrective. The preventative medicine is much better than the corrective and more effective. Though children need to know their parents are the authority in the home, they also need their friendship. How can parents increase this relationship? One way is by giving time and undivided attention. Letting a busy father be the answer man for 5 minutes a day. Having the children be where they're not interrupted by his visitors or phone calls and where they can ask him any question they choose, from why is my tongue red when I drink Kool-Aid to where is safety. They can do it by working together to solve problems as they reveal them so they don't feel they would be criticized and nagged, but rather supported and helped. By showing interest in their child's world of concern, whether that be cutting out paper dolls or picking out a new doghouse with them. By sharing something of yourself with them, the things that make you especially happy or sad. These and others that perhaps you've tried and shared will go a long way in building the friendship the children so need, just as we need the friendship God so longs for us to have with Him. I once heard a parent's prayer that includes these thoughts, which I long to be my prayer as a parent. O Father, help me to treat my children as you have treated me. Make me sensitive to their needs and frustrations. Help me to listen with attention, insight, and understanding to what they have to say. Help me to treat them as persons of your design and therefore of real worth. Help me to respect their times to talk without interruption or contradicting them. Their ideas, their need for freedom to make choices and to take responsibilities as they are able. Oh, give me the wisdom and understanding to teach my children as you have taught me, to love them as you have loved me.